weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, talking to yourself. You've got an inner critic? We're going to help you learn how to turn it off. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to be.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, talking to yourself. And we don't just mean those normal conversations where we just sort of enjoy chatting with ourselves. We're talking about those inner critics, that voice that constantly runs in your head and runs you down, tears you up, and tells you that you are not worth anything.
Not everything you want to be, at the very
least. Jeff.
You know, these inner critic voices can take us anywhere from, well, you're not quite measuring up, to complete devastation, where you might as well be at the hands of an abusive other person, but it's all coming from inside of you. And what in the world do you do when you yourself are robbing your joy, robbing your self-confidence, keeping you from being everything that God means you to be in the world? Because you've got this running conversation in your head that's kind of at least putting a damper on things, if not tearing you down.
We're asking you two questions today. The first one is, when do you tend to struggle with self-criticism? Right, and if you want to get past that, we want to help you with it. On the other hand, if there's someone you love who's kind of hard on themselves, and you want to help them get past their tendency to be overly critical of themselves and not be able to enjoy their successes or appreciate their gifts, we want to help you with that. So either way, we're talking about dealing with those inner critics, either in yourself or someone you love. Let's talk it out together and find some ways to increase that peace in your heart and start opening up your mind to God's love and grace. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, as you talk about, you know, the other people in our lives who may be suffering with that inner critic, I don't even want the words to come out of my mouth, but it is either getting there or has started back to school time. For many people, I know a lot of my friends' kids have gone back, a lot go back in the next couple of weeks, and certainly parents have to struggle with their own children's inner critic very, very often as the kids come home and they're not feeling quite right inside of themselves because something or somebody made them feel less than themselves during the course of the day. They're exhausted, they're struggling, and then you get to deal with the homework. You get to deal with the mood, and you're trying to deal with them, but you're also, without knowing how to, dealing with their own inner critic that's not just bothering them now, attacking you every day when they come home from school. And of course, this happens when you're loving other adults in your life as well, who are going through a hard time at work or struggling in parenting or a million other things. And we have to walk that walk with them. But how do we do that? How do we be Jesus to them and help them come out of that inner criticism and into the light of God?
So whether that inner critic is in your own head or in the head of someone you love, we're going to help you get past it, and start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit consoling you and leading you to being the person God calls you to be. and drawing you into closer relationship with Him. You know, coming at this from the perspective of the theology of the body, we're reminded that the key to achieving the incredibly high standard that God has for us in our relationships isn't flogging ourselves, but rather leaning into His love and allowing His grace to change us from the inside out. Yes, we have to cooperate with God's grace. Yes, we have to take seriously God's call to conversion. But we can't do it on our own. You know, when we beat up on ourselves, it's usually because we think that that's what we have to do to improve. But what's interesting is brain science tells us that when we criticize ourselves, our brains actually lock down in the face of what it perceives to be a threat, and that makes it actually more difficult to create the new neural connections that learning and changing require. You know, the same research actually shows that the most rapid brain changes, and therefore learning, occurs only when we feel loved and affirmed by others or ourselves. Theology of the body reminds us that by studying the body, we can learn important things about God's intentions for our life and relationships. And if our bodies say that beating up on ourselves is bad for us, it means that God doesn't want us to do it. So what do we do instead? How do we grow without flogging ourselves? How do we respond to that call to conversion without feeling like it's all up to us? How do we face failure and missteps and frustrations without giving in to that sense of worthlessness or impossibility that will ever change? Well, we want to talk through all of that and more. 877-573-7825.
I absolutely love that we're starting this show talking about leaning into the love of God as the first step, the only real way to grow in grace, to grow in virtue, and to know who we really are, and to silence that self-critic. And if listeners are listening and saying, oh my gosh, the pop checks have gone round the bend, they've gotten all pop psychology on us, what are we talking about? Then I really encourage you to go back to Psalm 139, because we're not changing anything. We're reiterating right back to the Old Testament where, you know, in the Psalms, David leaned into the love of God and said, I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He leaned into the love he had for his creator God, seeing who he was, not in and of himself, not in a boastful way, but as a creation of God. He celebrated that and was a man after God's own heart because of that. So that leaning into God's love for you so that you can free yourself from this brain lockdown, free yourself from the plague of self-criticism, and really shine as God wants you to, is something that we've been told since the beginning of our creation, the beginning of Scriptures, and we can stand firm on it.
All right, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for the call to conversion, for making it possible through your grace to become everything we were created to be, and to enter into deeper communion with you. But Lord, sometimes on that path, we recognize how short we fall, how imperfect we are, how much further we have to go, and we become intimidated by all the things that have yet to be fixed or healed in us. And so we try to motivate ourselves by beating up on ourselves, criticizing ourselves, running ourselves down. Help us, Lord, to be serious about your call to conversion without being scrupulous and thinking that we all have to do it on our own. Help us to allow ourselves to be changed by your grace and by your love, and to help us to avoid the trap of thinking that it's all up to us and that we can accomplish perfection somehow on our own. Help us to be patient with the process of healing that your grace requires. Help us to be patient as you work in our hearts, and help us slowly become the people that you created us to be. Let us trust in that process. Let us trust in your providence. Let us trust in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, talking to yourself. If you've got an inner critic or someone you love is struggling with beating up on themselves, we want to help you learn how to turn it off. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. 7825.
Let's start the day with Julia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in St. Louis, Missouri, on the Covenant Network.
Hey, Julia, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning, Popcats. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. What's your question for us?
The word you're saying really resonate with me. I find myself brooding over mistakes at work and at home just way too long. You know, you hear about things in the news and in society or stories within your personal circles, and it just can get overwhelming. You have such a strong desire to fix them, to do something about it, and it becomes enslaving because so many things are out of your control.
Sure.
And I just, you know, find myself, you know, having those conversations in my head and
Give me an example of what you're, what, give me an example of the kind of thing that would get you kind of worked up.
Can you be more specific?
Well, that's what I guess I'm asking you to be. Yeah.
So either in the situation where you're listening to the horrible stuff on the news, but somehow you're criticizing yourself for not doing something about it, or the more practical day-to-day of you're at work and a mistake is made and you get on your own case so badly that you kind of paralyze yourself. Which one's more pertinent to you? And give us an example of how that would play itself out.
Okay, I'll give a personal example and try to be somewhat discreet. A member of my close family is in an unhealthy relationship, and it's affecting a lot of us. It's involving your legal system, and it's just been very painful for us. And there's a lot of things that I wish I could do, but I can't.
Okay.
And I think about it all the time.
Okay. And when you say you think about it all the time, what do you think your intention is in thinking about it all the time?
Well, admittedly, there's a part of me that wishes I could save her, but I know that's not really realistic.
Right.
I guess just being a part of the solution, being there for her, would be even nice, but that's even not always easy.
No, it's not. You're right. You know, what you're talking about is what psychologists call the external control fallacy. The external control fallacy believes that, or excuse me, the other way around, internal control fallacy. The internal control fallacy has me believing that I have the power to control stuff that's going on outside of me like that. You know, if I could just worry about it enough or think about it enough, I could make this other thing change. And now I recognize intellectually, just as you do, Julia, that it's not possible for you to change this situation for this other person. But we tend to buy into this internal control fallacy that if I can just get myself worked up enough about it, that somehow I will be able to psychically affect this miracle in this other person's life. And the backside of that is, if I stop worrying about it so much, that means that I'm a mean person, that I don't care about them. Because we have a tendency to think that the degree of concern or care we have for another person has to be reflected in how anxious we make ourselves about them. And if we're not making ourselves sick about their stuff, then that must mean that we're not compassionate or caring, right? And that's really a lie from Satan, because making myself sick about somebody else's problems actually makes me less able to respond effectively to their problems. In fact, it sometimes can even make the other person take their problems less seriously, because they look at me and they just say, "Oh, you're just being crazy. Why are you so worked up about my stuff? You know, get over it." And then they don't focus on themselves, because they think that the only reason it's a problem is because I'm making it into a problem, instead of just backing up and letting them have the space they need to figure it out. So that's where the trick is, Julia. Recognizing that sometimes the best way to be compassionate for somebody who's suffering is to not let yourself get as worked up about it, and say, what can I do, number one, and am I doing that? And if I can really look at what can I do to be a support to this relative, for instance, you know, to be there for her in those times when she's ready to receive some counsel or some new resources, or she needs a shoulder to cry on, you know, and two, what can I do to actually follow through on that? You know, and then I guess number three, ask myself, am I doing those things? Because if I'm doing those things, then good. You know, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm doing exactly what that person needs me to do. And I can feel peaceful about that. In fact, I need to feel peaceful about that so that I can get on and do the other things that God wants me to be concerned with in my own life. Because that's another way that this internal control fallacy can kind of get us all worked up, because we think so much that our job is to control other people and on the situation outside of ourselves, we don't end up focusing on taking control of our own lives, because we're spending so much emotional energy on everybody else's stuff that we're letting our own stuff go.
And that's really where Satan's taking over, right?
Yeah.
Because you have these thoughts, And you can either say, nope, I'm going to focus on leaning into God, leaning into what I can do to make effective change in this situation, and really be keeping my prayer lines open to God so that my heart and my mind are open to what He wants me to be doing in my life. Or we can let these very dark thoughts take over, and it's Satan's way of saying, look over here. Just let me distract you over here. That way, all those things that God created you for, all those things He wants you to do today, all those people whose lives He wants you to touch, I'm going to put up a big barrier between you and them so you can't do God's work in the world. And He allows you to feel crushed by that. And of course you feel crushed by that because He's leading you away from God's grace. He's leading you away from doing the work you were created for. And when we're not doing the work that God created us for in a given moment, we feel less of God. We feel diminished. And so really we're allowing thoughts that just come to sort of be hijacked right by Satan himself.
So, Julia, when you find yourself getting caught up in that internal control fallacy, either because you see something on the news or something's going on in the family and you feel like I should be able to do more about that, ask yourself, right, what is it that I can do realistically? What is it that I can do? Number two, am I doing that? If you aren't, then do it. And if you're not, and if you are, then be at peace. And then the third question you want to ask yourself is, so now that I'm at peace about that, what is it in front of me that God is wanting me to refocus on? You know, what is the problem or the challenge or the goal that God's got in front of me right now that I need to be focusing on in my own life instead of getting lost in trying to magically control what goes on over there by making myself sick enough about it? If you can practice those skills of being intentionally compassionate, but then intentionally refocusing yourself on what's in front of you, then you can both be attentive to the needs of others and to the needs that God wants you to attend to that are right in front of your face. Julia, thank you so much. You really do have a beautiful heart, and I want to commend you for that. But I think that these skills will help you focus that energy a little bit more effectively. If you'd like to learn more resources for getting a handle on that internal dialogue you got going on, check out my book, God Help Me, This Stress Is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace. There's a chapter in there specifically that talks about these different kinds of what are called cognitive distortions, different kind of bad thinking habits that cause us to get kind of emotionally beat up, and it'll walk you through those steps. And that's God Help Me, This Stress Is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or at EWTN Religious Catalog as well. God bless you, Julia. Thanks for the call. As we head out to our break, it's time for our first More to Life hack for challenging your inner critic, which is don't overheat.
Beating yourself up is a sign that your brain is overheating. Brain science shows that giving in to temptation to self-criticism actually prevents new neural connections from forming in the brain, as the brain locks down in the face of some perceived threat. When you hear that inner critic ramping up, remind yourself to cool down. Ask God to help you to remember that He loves you despite how frustrated you feel in the moment.
So in prayer, recall the strengths and abilities that God's given you, as well as the people God has provided to love you and support you through this time. And then from that place of strength and support, make a plan for taking the next steps of whatever changes you want to make. You'll be amazed at how much easier it is to grow and change when you stop trying to lug around a ton of self-criticism at the same time. So when you are tempted to go to that self-critical place, remember, that's your brain overheating. What you really need to do is step out, let God's grace in, and then move forward in peace. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with your own inner critic or helping someone you love deal with theirs. The number is 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, when More to Life returns, we'll be talking with Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist, a master catechist, the catechetical consultant to our Sunday Visitor publications, and he's going to talk with us about how we can help our kids get over their inner critic. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up when More to Life returns after the break.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com. Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Have you heard about Lord Teach Me to Pray? Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Training retreats will be held this summer and fall in various parts of the country. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com to find a training retreat near you. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative.
Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Facilitator Training Retreats.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsors, Tracy and Teresa Song, honoring Monsignor Daniel Sullivan as the pastor of Saints Peter and Paul in North Branch. Monsignor O'Sullivan was a tremendous blessing to the faithful in his ministry. May God bless Monsignor O'Sullivan today through the intercession of Our Lady and the protection of Saint Michael.
Looking for affordable Catholic health care? Look no further. CMF Curo is the only Catholic health ministry which provides an established health care program, spiritual growth opportunities within Catholic community, and unique wellness programs and health tools. Plus, it is half the cost of many insurances. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com or visit cmfcuro.com. CMF Curo, it's my Catholic health care.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, we're talking with you about the inner critic, either your own or that of someone you love. And if you want to get past that struggle with self-criticism or want to help someone you care about get past their tendency to be tough on themselves, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist, a national catechetical consultant for our Sunday Visitor publications, and the author of several books, including The Catholic Parent's Toolbox. Dr. Joseph White, thanks for joining us today. Dr. White, are you there?
I'm here. Can you
hear me?
There he is. Good morning.
I can hear you first. All right. So, you know, let's start. We're talking about how to help our kids get past this tendency to self-criticism. But let's define a term here. Very often, psychologists will use a phrase called self-talk. What is self-talk exactly?
Well, simply the things that we say to ourselves. We often hear self-talk expressed out loud by kids, just as they sometimes will narrate their own play and talk to themselves in other ways. They will often say out loud the things that they're saying to themselves.
And so that's a little bit of a clue of the sort of thing that's going on inside their heads then, is what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, when we hear them say, out loud, I'm so stupid, or I'm probably going to flunk this test, or things like that. We can be pretty sure that those things are going on internally as well, and often kids will say those things out loud around us.
Well, now let me ask you this, okay? Because as soon as a parent hears something like, oh, "I'm stupid," or "I'm going to fail that test," or you know, "Nobody likes me," or whatever it is, our immediate reaction is, "Oh, that's not true. Don't think that way." Does that work?
Well, I don't think it helps break the habit, because self-talk and negative self-talk becomes a habit. And I think one thing that could be more effective is helping kids begin to notice the patterns of their self-talk. There are three ways that I think are very common in kids, three patterns of negative self-talk. One is called absolute thinking. So this is using a lot of language like always or never. I never get anything I want. This always happens to me. Kind of phrasing those things in ways that are generally never true, almost never true. I don't want to use a never in my definition, but so absolute thinking is one. Expecting the negative. So the I'm probably going to flunk the test today is kind of predicting things will go wrong before you really know, before you have the information. And then another pattern is name-calling. So the I'm stupid would be an example of that, and kind of giving yourself a label when what you're really talking about is a situation. So helping kids recognize those patterns. And then once we do that, once we help them kind of recognize the pattern, then we can help them break the pattern by asking simply, what's another way that you could think about that? What you said was predicting something bad before you even know for sure how it'll turn out. What's a different way you could think about that?
I love that concept, because A, you're empowering them, and B, you're not shutting them down and making them feel like no one understands them by just saying, oh, that's not true, honey. Oh, you're this or that, or don't think that way.
Because you're trying to be helpful when you're doing that, all the kid hears is you just don't get it.
Right.
And so anything you say after that point.
And then if they're in the negative headspace, it goes to nobody understands me, and then they feel more isolated, more alone, and less empowered. But what you're saying is really giving them back some power just by using your words to help them think differently about it.
Exactly. And, you know, Lisa, I think that the other thing that happens sometimes is that kids sometimes do get convinced by the argument and feel like they need the parent to do that every time. So they become reliant on us to talk them out of the self-talk when really they can mm-hmm. learn how to do that themselves. So either way, I think empowering them to recognize those patterns and empowering them to think about what's a different way to, if I'm having a thought that doesn't feel helpful and you know, is making me feel worse, how can I stop myself and then say, what's another way to think about it?
Now, Dr. Joseph, if they say, I don't know, what's the next sentence that should come out of a parent's mouth?
Well, I think one thing we can do is model an example here and there, you know. So if you say, what's another way to think about that, when they say, I'll fail the test, and they say, I don't know, you could say, well, you don't know for sure what grade you'll make on the test, so what would be a positive way to think about it? You know, give them a hint, model it if you need to.
Or even, what could you do to try to do your best on the test,
yeah.
Right? You know, between now and then, what are the steps you could take to try to do the best job possible in that test instead of
exactly.
predicting your failure? You know? So, you know, just kind of coaching them through.
And those leading questions instead of putting, like, a stop to their way of thinking. I really like this, and I think a lot of parents will be using it mm-hmm. in this coming school year. Thank you so much, Dr. White.
And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about Dr. White's resources, including his book, The Catholic Parents Toolbox, you can go to sharingcatholicfaith.com. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Joseph White.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're taking your calls about dealing with that inner critic or in helping other people that you love deal with their tendency to be a little hard on themselves. If you want to start getting past that tendency to self-criticism and start letting the love and grace of God more deeply into your heart and mind, give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back right after this.
If you're a registered nurse with at least 1 year of experience in home care, has a strong desire to work with the elderly population, is very dedicated with flexible hours, come and join our team at John Paul Home Care. We have excellent packages for full-time and part-time positions, including highly competitive salaries. All interested parties are welcome to fax their resumes to 248-731-7562. That's 248-731-7562.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak. God wants us to have a great marriage. It may be hard to believe that. After all, a great marriage only benefits my spouse and me, right? Wrong. God truly does want you to have a great marriage because your marriage is not just about you. God wants to change the world through your marriage. Marriage is a vocation, a ministry, a way that we live out God's grace in the world. He blesses others and calls them to Him through marriages. When you actively work on having the best marriage and family life possible, you give God the opportunity to tell the world that love that is freely given, total, faithful, and fruitful is actually possible. And it's a path to true joy. Your witness to love can and will change the world. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
When do you tend to struggle with self-criticism? Do you tend to beat yourself up for past mistakes or for missing the mark? Is someone you love too hard on themselves? Either way, we want to help you get past that tendency to struggle with criticism, internal criticism, or the criticism of those you love. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking now with Melissa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver, Colorado on Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, Melissa, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Well, thanks. I think I've heard so much of the answers already and what's gone on. But I guess what I'm going to need to know is to confirm that we've taken the right path. But my son is a sophomore in college. He's a brilliant kid, he's always been very military-oriented, so he is an ROTC. Unfortunately, the freshman year was an eye-opener. His GPA is not what it needed to be to get all his academic scholarships, as well as the ROTC scholarship. And he didn't find out about the lack of that scholarship until just a couple of weeks ago. And now he went back to school not being able to be sworn in to the one thing that he's always dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And just the other day, as we're talking to him, I mean, it's a financial disaster because he's out of state and we really needed that. So he understands the financial implications, but he just made the comment how he's such a failure. And it just, of course, breaks my heart. I can't help him. So the thing is, in knowing all this, we kind of said, well, you've got to look at school differently, a 40-hour work week, you're studying, doing this, blah, 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 buckle down. You can do it, but kind of the threat is, truly, we cannot afford the out-of-state tuition if he doesn't get the scholarship renewed after this semester. So here we are with all this looming overhead. He's out of state. I only can talk to him through the phone. Yeah. And I hear him say he's a failure. So now I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well, here's what I would suggest to you that you do, right? I mean, and there's nothing wrong with acknowledging, you know what, I know. You did not do what you were hoping to be able to do last time. And, you know, that's frustrating for all of us. I get that. But here's the thing, son. You know, the only thing that matters at this point is next time, is this coming semester. So how can you learn? You know, there's a truism, it's a little bit of a cliche, but there's some value in it, that failure equals feedback, okay? And if he says, I'm a failure, it's like you can say to him, look, all right, I understand that you feel like you failed, but failure is feedback. And the only thing that's important now is the next semester, where you're going from here. And dwelling on what you did the last semester doesn't help you succeed in this semester. So what's your plan? What do we, you know, and really talk him through. Don't just let him get away with, yeah, I got to do better. Like, okay, no, you do.
Real
but
practical
how will
points.
You do that? What kind of changes do you need to make? What support do you need to get? What habits do you need to cultivate? How are you going to get the accountability to make to really follow through on it? I'm not suggesting that you hound him. I'm saying that you ask him questions that help him really think through this in a more productive, proactive way.
That create a plan in his mind and
exactly.
give him steps to take. And believe me, Melissa, as a mom, you know, it's rough being a mom of an adulting kid because you're so used to saying, put on your shoes, get your coat, don't forget your backpack for all those years, right? It's telling them what to do. Suddenly, they're launching, but they don't have all those adulting skills yet. And it's very easy to say things like, check in and see if there's a study center at school. See if you can get a tutor. See if you can sit down with somebody to make a study plan. Whatever our ideas are, and it bounces off like bullets off of Superman. You can't do that to them. But saying, like Greg is saying, well, what do you think you can put into place? How can you make this year differently? What will your days look like? These leading questions that then make them have to really concretely think about it. And without them even realizing it, they're starting to create a plan in their minds that empowers them in terms of their self-worth and their self-identity. They start to get that energy back, but also empowers them to really do something practical and different than they have been doing when they're kind of falling into those mistakes. So it's going to be hard. You're going to want to tell them what to do. But refrain from that and sit down and ask yourself, how do I put this in the form of questions that are not critical but really leading him to come up with his own plan?
So reframe that failure as feedback and then ask him specifically, you know, what kind of plan he can put in place to do a better job this semester. And, you know, don't let him get away with just the sort of general, oh, I need to do better, or I guess I just have to buckle down. Well, what does that mean? Okay, you know, I don't, you know, if you were buckling down, if you were doing better, how could you learn from last semester? What changes would you need to make to really succeed the way you want to this semester? If you can kind of focus on that, then you're helping him refocus on the next time and actually being able to learn from those mistakes so he can go forward feeling confident in his ability to do better this next semester. God bless you, Melissa. Thanks for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on the show or contact us through CatholicCounselors.com. All right, we are continuing to take your calls about dealing with self-criticism or helping someone you love who's being too hard on themselves. Give us a call. We'll help you fight back against that inner voice that's beating you up and start to reconnect with the Holy Spirit and how God is gently leading, guiding, and loving you into the perfect person He's created you to be. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Julia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey, Julia, welcome to Word of Life. What's your question for us?
My question deals with a perpetual problem that we have had in our family, to where our family kind of feels like we are living under a black cloud. We've had issues with money for years. We've had issues with we've had death after death after death. Our own family, immediate family, we lost 3 children to miscarriage, 1 after the child was born, and all within about 15 years. And that sounds like it's a long time, I realize that.
No, it's not. Not when you're dealing with that kind of struggle for that long, one after the other. No, not at all.
Parents and constant loss of life, along with struggles at home, struggles with our work, and not so much personally struggles at home, but just more surrounding the death and the issues with money. And it's almost like we can't get out from underneath this black cloud to where there is a feeling that things will be better. There's like almost a loss of hope. And how are we going to, what's going to happen next? And it's not that we've lost faith.
Yeah.
We still have our faith, but the faith is in, we're we've gotten to the habit of where it's, what's the next bad thing that's coming. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, you're waiting for
it
the other shoe.
It does make sense, and a lot of people don't realize that there is sort of an emotional post-traumatic stress syndrome that's kind of, it's very subtle. It's not as though you went through, you know, a violent attack or something, but it happens slowly where you do, your brain sort of gets trained to react, just as if one of our soldiers would come back and react every time he heard a car backfire because he's used to that reaction of, oh, if I hear that sound, it's scary. You wake up in the morning when you've had too many days like that and you think, oh, good golly, what's going to happen today? And it's really trained your brain in that way.
Yeah, the writer and professional cynic Dorothy Parker used to say, oh, what fresh hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you're describing.
That's it.
Right,
and it
here.
Happens for many of us who go through that, and more of us go through that kind of long-term training in difficulty than most of us are willing to admit.
So what do you do about it? Okay, here's the thing, Julia. First of all, you have our genuine sympathy for the struggles that you guys
and
have been going through.
A great deal of empathy.
You know, so I'm not going to pretend here that there's some way that you can mentally trick yourself into thinking that everything's awesome.
Yeah, nobody's about to start singing "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow" with this. We get where you're coming from.
No, but here's the thing. When you're going through these difficulties and you start feeling like there's a dark cloud hanging over your head, you need to refocus on three qualities that allow you to experience joy, not in spite of your suffering, but even in the middle of the difficulties. I talk about this in the book, in our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. And these three qualities are meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. In everything that we go through, okay, and right, keep in mind here, okay, you know, we tend to get surprised by bad things happening, which we really shouldn't, because our Christian story reminds us that the world is broken. You know, the miracle is that there isn't more horrible stuff that goes on, frankly, because the world is broken, and we do live in a fallen time. And the fact that good things happen, every good thing that happens is a mercy from God, a blessing from God, where he's slowly creating order out of the chaos that our sins have created in this world, right? So the point being that in good times and in bad, our response has to always be the same. We need to always be pursuing meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. We ask ourselves, in the face of the good things that happen to us or the bad things that are happening around us, how can I respond to this in a way that leads to greater meaningfulness, in the sense that I am using my gifts, yes, to bless myself, but to be a blessing to others as well? How can I use my gifts to make a difference, a positive difference in this situation?
And that doesn't have to be the grandiose plan. That could be in that moment. That could be, I'm going to get my husband a cup of coffee. That's
yeah.
going to be, I feel
that's
like
more,
the whole world is crushing me, but I'm going to open the door for this stranger that I'm going through the hospital with and smile at them, even though it's hurting me to smile.
That's a more meaningful response than just sullenly slamming the door behind me or sullenly sitting there on the couch and letting my husband get his own darn cup of coffee, right? You know, what's the meaningful thing I can do right now that would use my gifts, this, that would bless me, but to bless the people around me as well? Intimacy, second quality that we need to pursue. How can I use this situation, whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, to grow closer to the people around me, to either set healthy boundaries to make these relationships healthier in the long run, or if the person is safe, to be more vulnerable with them and open up more to them in some way and to God. And then thirdly, virtue. How can I use this situation, good, bad, or indifferent, to grow, to become a better living, breathing example of the stuff I say that I stand for and believe in? How can I respond to this in a way that makes me stronger, that I can challenge my comfort zone, learn new skills, become more because of what's happening to me? If you can ask yourself, how can I respond to this situation, whether it's, as I said, good, bad, or indifferent, in a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous way in this moment, you're going to begin to experience what psychologists refer to as authentic happiness, and what theologians refer to as joy, even in the middle of the difficulties, because you're able to see how God is using even the tough times to bring out the best in you. Viktor Frankl, who was a psychotherapist who lived through the concentration camps, he was a Jew who was in the camps, and to kind of keep himself sane, he studied why certain people around him, even though they seemed healthy, would just sort of collapse and die from despair versus others who kept going. What was the difference? And he came up with the formula that suffering minus meaning leads to despair. This dark cloud that you're talking about is that loss of meaning, that sense that there's nothing I can do, there's no point to any of this, why should we even bother? Your suffering minus meaning is leading to despair. By asking yourself, how can I respond to these things in a way that allows me to use my gifts and talents to be a blessing to others, that allows me to draw closer into relationship with those around me, and allows me to grow into a better, stronger, living, breathing example of the things I claim to stand for and believe in, is what's going to lend to greater meaning in your life and experience and help you encounter joy in spite of what you're going through.
Now, that is a very hard thing to keep in mind when you're getting the next kick in the side. So what I'd really encourage you to do is use this as sort of your nightly examine and really ask yourself, did I do something that allowed me to experience meaning in my life today? Did I find something that made me feel more connected to another person? These questions that Greg is talking about, sometimes you'll be able to find those moments of grace. Sometimes you'll say, went through the whole day, and it was such a struggle, I never thought to do this. If that's the case, don't beat yourself up. Come up with a plan that you write down of just three things, in one in each of those categories, that you'll try to do tomorrow, and then keep your eye out for other
things
you can do.
Don't let it be the same old things. Ask yourself, what more can I do to bring more meaning to this? What more could I do to try to bring more intimacy into my life? What more could I do to bring more virtue into my life? Because then you're growing.
And really examine what those virtues are. You know, what virtues do I need to go into tomorrow with? And here's the real trick to that, Julia. Write it down for yourself. Get a prayer journal. Keep it by the side of your bed. Do the daily examine with these questions in mind at the end of the day and write down those three areas of how you're going to try to do it tomorrow. It will begin to change your outlook. It will bring in God's grace. It will drive out some of that darkness, and it will make you feel closer walking with God through this.
As I mentioned earlier, we could go into much more detail in our book, The Life God Wants You to Have. Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. It's The Life God Wants You to Have. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or at EWTN Religious Catalog, but it'll take you through the next steps building off the framework that we gave you here in this call. We'll certainly add you to our Mortal Life prayer list, Julia, and we certainly ask our listeners to keep you in their prayers today as well. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us here on More to Life, or contact us through CatholicCounselors.com. But again, the book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I think will take you the next steps that you need to go. Thanks again. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our next More to Life hack for challenging your inner critic, which is focus on the next step, just like we were talking about here.
Exactly, because self-criticism is almost always a faulty means to motivate yourself to achieve some greater goal, especially when you feel that you've messed up or you've stumbled in some way. But that's the wrong place to focus your energy. When you're tempted to engage in self-criticism, take the focus off of you and remind yourself of your goal.
The more you sit around beating up on yourself for stumbling on the last step, it doesn't do anything to help you find the next step. You know, instead of picking on yourself, ask what you need to do now to move forward successfully. What resources do you need to gather? What support do you need? What new information do you need to get? Then take all that energy you're going to use by beating up on yourself and redirect it into praying for God's grace, identifying those next steps for success, and creating an achievable plan. Let, as we were sharing with our previous caller, the failures equal the feedback that leads to success in your future. We are taking your calls about dealing with self-criticism. When do you tend to struggle with self-criticism? Is someone you love being too hard on themselves? Let's talk it out together. We've got time for you at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And More to Life will be back right after the break.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
For one night only on Saturday, September 23rd, Detroit is rolling out the red carpet for the Sistine Chapel Choir. The Pope's very own choir, and you can be part of this sold-out concert. Subscribe or renew to the Michigan Catholic newspaper, and you'll automatically be entered to win one of four pair of tickets or an autographed CD of the choir. The Sistine Chapel Choir is returning to the U.S. for the first time in 30 years. And for the first time in the esteemed choir's history, they will be performing at the Detroit Opera House. This could be a once-in-a-generation chance to see the Pope's personal choir. So enter today by visiting the michigancatholic.org/choircontest or by calling 313-224-8002. The Michigan Catholic Newspaper, your guide to living your faith.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be legal resident of Michigan, 18 years of age or older. Sweepstakes ends 8/28/17. See official rules at www.themichigancatholic.org for details.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are talking with you today about the struggle against self-criticism. When do you tend to pick on yourself for either mistakes you've made or, you know,
anything?
That stuff.
Being alive?
Not being able to talk, for example, on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, anything.
Anything. The things that your gym teacher used to criticize you about. The things that mom and dad said that you took completely in a way that said, I'm a horrible person. The things that the boss said when he was in a grumpy mood and hadn't had his coffee. We can internalize those things and they can become our worst enemy.
David from Houston had a question that I thought was a terrific question that we want to take.
Great question. David was listening to EW10 on Guadalupe Radio, and he says that the inner voice is our conscience, and it's there to guide us. And if we're arguing with ourselves, maybe we just shouldn't do it. So I really appreciate David's sort of question slash comment here, because he's sort of saying, you know, it's all very well and good to try to just get over it and be more positive, but what about the idea of the Holy Spirit using our conscience to guide us through this? Shouldn't we listen to that? And of course, we should.
That inner voice may or may not be your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
St. Ignatius of Loyola made an important distinction between what he called consolations and desolations. And our inner voice could be the result of consolations, or they could be desolations. A consolation is an impulse, he called it a movement of the spirit, but basically it's a feeling, an impulse, a thought that passes through your mind that pushes you closer to God or pushes you closer to being the person God wants you to be. And sometimes consolations feel good, sometimes they feel bad. For example, if I'm doing something wrong, and I hear in my voice, I hear in my head, you know, you shouldn't do that. Do this instead. That's going to make me feel a little bad, but that I'm doing the wrong thing. But it's still a consolation because the effect of it is to push me toward being the person God wants me to be and drawing closer to God. So that's a consolation.
And really, consolations come with this idea of, I want you to do this instead. It could be for small things. It could be for those bigger things that people struggle with in society. So, you know what? You really shouldn't be shacking up with your boyfriend. You should really be living a chaste life and going to church instead. It comes with that, please do this instead. Right. It'll lead you closer to me in a healthier, holier life.
But it could also, the inner voice could also be a desolation, in which case it's not your conscience at all, but a temptation from Satan. A desolation, according to St. Ignatius, is a thought or a feeling or an impulse, a movement of the spirit, to use his term, that pulls us away from God or makes it harder for us to be the person God wants us to be.
So let me take exactly the same example, okay? You're thinking, I'm going to live with my boyfriend. And instead of hearing, come away from that, come closer to me, live a chaste and holy life, you hear, well, you might as well, because you're never going to find a real marriage, and you don't deserve anything better than this, so you might as well settle, or on and
well,
on and on.
Let's take the guilt thing, right? Because guilt could be a consolation or a desolation. So let's take I feel guilty about living with my boyfriend. But it's never going to get any better. There's nobody else out there for
me,
so what's the point? Right, so that guilt that makes me feel like I'm worthless and useless, that is a desolation that separates me from God's love, that makes it harder for me to do the right thing.
As opposed to a holy guilt, which says, I better get to confession, I better get out of this relationship, and I better figure out what God really wants for me.
So David and all of our listeners, you know, who are kind of listening today and thinking, well, where does conscience fit in all with all this?
Yeah.
It fits in with whether the voice that you're hearing in your head is actually... If, not just, you know, in theory leading you closer to God, because I'm beating up on myself, so that makes me closer to God, but in practice, is it actually making you take steps that go closer, that draw you closer to God, or being the person that God wants you to be? If those thoughts that you're hearing in your head are actually helping you take productive, godly steps that are making you into the person that God is calling you to be and drawing you closer into relationship with God, those are consolations. That's your conscience. You should listen to that. On the other hand, if those thoughts passing through your mind are pulling you away from God, making you feel unworthy of God's love and grace, making it harder for you to be who God is calling you to be, those are desolations, and that is a temptation from Satan. In fact, that's Satan or one of his subcontractors whispering in your spiritual ear, if you will. And the more you listen to that voice, the more you separate yourself from God's grace and make it difficult for you to grow and change the way he wants you to. Even if your intention is to beat up on yourself to get there, if it's holding you back, it's not from God. All right, folks, thanks so much for tuning in today. We hope that you've picked up some tips to help you let go of your inner critic and also help those you love stop being quite so hard on themselves. If you'd like more resources, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com, where you can sign up for our free e-letter. You can watch hundreds of free Power Break self-help videos. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor who can help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com or call to make an appointment to speak with a counselor at 740-266-6464. That's 740-266-6461. God bless you, folks. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. Be God's blessing to someone today.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Today's preview of this Sunday's Gospel is brought to you by the Truth and Life Audio Bible, available on the Ave Maria Radio app and at AveMariaRadio.net/Bible.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples,
"Who do men say that the Son of Man is?"
Some.